It's a new day and a new year. Shout it out loud, sing with the crowd. Celebrate, cause good things are coming. New opportunities are at the door. Hold your head up, drop the sorrow. No regrets now for tomorrow. It's a new chance for a new life. Everything you've been waiting for. The future's bright now as things turn over. The possibilities around the corner. New innovation with new creation. All the good things that we have in store. Now it's a brand new day. And it's a brand new year. And there is hope in tomorrow. Now there's nothing up here. It's not coming yet, it's already here. Now it's a brand new day. And it's a brand new year. So sing. It's time to dream bigger dreams, where impossible is not hard as it seems, and live in high hopes throughout your day, and know that happiness is quickly on its way. We're moving forward, we're going higher, we're reaching things that we formerly just desired. Fun and excitement, it fills the air, and there's more than enough for us to share. It's a brand new year, and there is hope in tomorrow. Now there's nothing to fear. It's not coming, yeah, it's already here. Yeah, it's a brand new day, and it's a brand new year. So sing and be happy and share the good cheer. It's not coming.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning again, and I want to congratulate all of you who made a choice to be here in church on this January 1st and wish you, of course, a blessed and glorious new year. It's not often that January 1st falls on a Sunday, and as we look to this day, we think of like that video. It's kind of exciting, the hope of the year, and New Year's Day, like I said, doesn't fall off on a Sunday very often, and New Year's Day for many is a day to sleep in. So I congratulate you for being here this morning. That's because New Year's Eve is an evening to go out or to have folks in or to do something to celebrate the new year. You know, ring out the old, bring in the new, and that's kind of what we do. And because we knew that we would be in here in church this morning, Chris and I made a choice to have an early evening last night. We had some invitations, and we just said, we're going to make an early evening. I hope some of you did the same, but if not, you're still glad you're here. So, but the reality is that life really is all about choices. We made a choice, so we're going to make an early evening and get some rest and be prepared for today, but life is all about choices. In my old office in the old building, I used to have a sign by my desk, and it said, life is not made up of the dreams that I dream, but of the choices that I make. Life is not made up of the dreams that I dream, but of the choices that I make. We all have dreams. We all have aspirations. We all have goals. We all have ideas of some kind of what we want in our life and where we want to be in our life. And I believe we're supposed to have dreams. We're supposed to have God-given dreams. Scripture speaks of vision and the importance of it. In Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And if you would, vision is for the future, where you envision something happening, something you want to be, some place you want to go, somebody you want to be, some changes you want in your life. And vision, if you will, requires a dream. And I believe we should all have God-given dreams, God-given vision. And we surely should have God-given direction in our life for now, for the immediate, and for the future. If we all believe, as the scripture showed in the video, that God has plans for you to give you hope in the future, not to harm you, out of Jeremiah, if we believe that, he has a future for us, then our future should be God-directed. And we should seek his heart and have His dream burst in our heart and live in our heart and envision for that moving forward. So dreams, I think, are of God. Dreams and visions, and we have a big God. I think they're of God, but dreaming and envisioning is only the beginning. The dream is the blueprint of the yet to be completed or accomplished. Before we built the sanctuary, we had a blueprint drawn up. We had some thoughts, ideas, dreams, vision, if you would, of how we wanted to look and the changes we wanted to make. And so we had a blueprint drawn up. We had to put it down on paper and began to see the possibility on paper of what could be. If you look in the book in the back that we have from the that was given to us from the Wheelers, if you look at, there's a picture when we first came here, it was just a gymnasium and a cafeteria. And what it looks like now, it looks entirely different. And so we began to dream that and see that on the blueprint. We drew it out, what it was going to be, but the dream couldn't stop there. We had to choose to do the work. We had to put the vision into action. Some people have visions, have blueprints, if you would, in their mind of their life, of where they want to go. They have all these thoughts of where they want to be personally and spiritually and all things they want in life. And they have this blueprint, if you would, of the vision of where they want to be, but it never goes past the blueprint. Never any action. If we had the blueprint drawn up and said, isn't this great? Look at this, it's going to be wonderful. We put it out in the back so you could see it, but that's all it ever did was just a blueprint. After a while, that vision dream takes action. And this time of year, this new year, we often see as a fresh start. People say it's a new beginning, it's a new year. You know, on one hand, today is not that different from yesterday. Nothing magical happened at 12 o'clock last night. If it did, I wasn't awake to see it, to be honest about it, you know. But I mean, really, it just, you know, it just is the calendar changed from 2011, 2012, nothing really magical happened. Yet on the other hand, this is a new year. A new year represents a new beginning. We look at it that way. This is a new chance. What are we going to do in 2012? And many people make New Year's resolutions. You may not, you know, but a resolve, a resolution, a resolve to do something different, to change something about your life, to do things in a better way, to improve yourself. And whether you decide to make a resolution or not, today presents each of us with a choice. What will you make of the coming year? Last year, 2011, is finished. It's history. It's over. It's done. Whatever happened in 2011, if you will, is old news. It's behind you now. For the good things that happened, for the good things that God did in your life, rejoice in those. Rejoice in God, thank Him for it, and you acknowledge that He did it. He's there for you. But it's time to move on. For the bad or the difficult or the challenges or the trials that you had in 2011, it's time to move on from. The problem is that the bad or the difficult often leaves a mark. There can be residual hurts from 2011. Those things that kind of carry over and you're reminded of. And so that's maybe your first choice for 2012. If you have leftover pain from hurts or disappointments or loss, to bring them to God, to allow Him to facilitate and bring healing and restoration into your life. We know Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." And we believe that, that God will take whatever it is in your life and He will make it for good, even though at the moment it may not seem that way. But today we stand on a brand new year. God has granted each of us the blessing of seeing this day. If, God willing, He grants us the blessing of seeing this day 1 year from now, where will you be? Besides being another year older, where will you be? What will have happened to you? What things in your life will have affected you for good and for bad? Where will you be relationally, both with the people that are close to you and with God? Do you have a dream or a vision of where you want to be, maybe in your relationship, in your marriage, with your children, with your grandchildren, and certainly with God? Do you have things in your life that you want to make better in 2012? but just aren't quite what they could be. And so do you have that dream or understanding? This year will bring with it the same thing that every year brings with it. There will be decisions to make, some very important. There will be challenges, some good, some we can live without. We will have successes, and we'll have some failures. It's called life. And you have another chance to make another choice regarding this year. You will choose how you approach each and every day. You may not be somebody that makes resolutions, and that's okay. It's up to you, but you know, you may not have anything special planned for this year. But you will choose how you approach each and every day. You will make a choice of what you're going to do in 2012 and what you're going to do on a daily basis. And your choice may be to do nothing special. Kind of like life where it's at right now. You're just going to go along. You're happy. Maybe you're comfortable. You like some things, but change is difficult. You like to make some changes, but do nothing special. Just let the days happen before you. But understand that's still a choice. It's a choice to stay status quo. It's good enough. And at first, it may not seem like a bad idea. Like I said, maybe you're comfortable. Let's not rock the boat. Let's just keep things, you know, get through the year. But there's a couple of problems with that. If that's your attitude, first and foremost, you are not allowing any room for personal, purposeful growth. I mean, do you really want to, God willing, you have this day next year? Do you really want to be exactly where you're at personally, relationally, spiritually, physically, the same place next year? I mean, you have to allow for purposeful growth in your life. You will stay the same if you do nothing, or will you? I mean, we know all the time, we see all the time in the Word of God that God says we have an enemy that's out to hurt you and to destroy you, and He has plans for you this year. And so does God. And if you do nothing, if you stay just the same, don't rock the boat, I'm not going to move anything, I'm not doing anything, you will go backwards. You won't stay the same because it's a lie. The assault of the enemy will come after you, and day's challenges will come after you, and you get worn down. I've seen it in people over the years. People that get casual about God, get casual about church, casual about the things in their life, and they think they're going to be okay, but little by little, it's like it erodes away their life, and they become unhealthy. It's just a reality. Not moving forward will cause you to move backward. Now, there's a good chance that the fact that you are here this morning means that you want more from this life. I got up early, as I always do on Sunday, and I was coming in, and there was nobody on the roads. I mean, you know, usually there's not a lot on Sunday morning, early in the morning. I mean, it was like, you know, by yourself. I'm thinking, man, well, you know, I wondered what today would be like. I knew there were a lot of people up late. I get all that. But the fact that you made a choice to get up, whatever you did last night, and be in church this morning means you want more from life. That you're going to start this year in God's house. You want to move forward personally and spiritually. So you chose to get up and come here. That's a great way to start the new year. I mean, I applaud you for it. And to be clear, God does have wonderful plans for you this year. And He wants you to be involved in the process. We love Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you, prosper you, and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. I mean, that's like, what can go wrong with that? Love it. And as you head into this year, you will choose to draw closer to God or not. You will choose to spend more time in His Word or not. You will choose to spend more time in prayer. You will choose to spend more time serving Him in a greater fashion or not. We all have that choice. God declares He has wonderful plans for you, and He's willing to be involved and wants to be involved, but He wants you to be involved. He wants you to meet Him in the process. And He's given us several gifts and several promises to help us in this venture for this year. One is His Word. The psalmist declares in Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I mean, if we go through this year and we say we got dreams, visions, plans, we want great things to happen, we want to do great things with God, we want God bigger in our life, it's got to start with His Word. It's this light, this lamp, this light of our path, this direction, this chiseling, this working in our life on a continual basis. And whatever time you spent in God's Word last year, spend more time this year, myself included. Whatever time you're so busy, I get so busy and it's so hard to just crack it open, even just for personal reading. But I have to. So whatever time you spent in His Word last year, spend more time this year. He gave us His Word for so much in our life. God gave us the Holy Spirit as well. We're blessed as a people of God to have the Spirit of God living and reigning in our life. Jesus said in John 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage, is it expedient, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." And He told that to His disciples, but as you study the Word of God, Jesus had so much to say about the wonderful Holy Spirit. He said, "I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, and hold on, because it's wonderful. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth." Now, I'll tell you what, the older I get and the more I go through life and the more I work in my own life and other people's lives and the more I see this world getting kind of crazy, the more I hunger for truth. Just truth. I don't want the lies. I don't want the deceptions. I don't want all that mixture of stuff. Just truth. Amen? The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. Jesus called Him a helper. So the Helper will teach you. Call Him an advocate, the one will come along and be with you. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us get through 2012. And another part of God's plan for you in your life is other believers. We need each other. Scripture, of course, commands us not to forsake the assembling of saints, to be together. And it's not just because God wants to see the church full. Of course He does. But He knows that there's a plan and a purpose in the gathering of saints. How we edify, how we sharpen one another, how we encourage one another, how we're there for one another. We should make it understand it's a command not to be in church. It's a command to be here. But, you know, Paul wrote in Philippians, to the Philippian church he said, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." There's a lot to be said about hanging around with God's people. They rub off on you. I have a list of folks that I hung around with before I knew the Lord. Man, they weren't very good people, and I'm not putting them down because I was leading them in the wrong direction. And I don't mean this as a slam, but I'm telling you, our visions and our hopes and our priorities were not godly. When you get around godly people, and you see good things in them. How many of you have ever been convicted by being around somebody just because of what they're saying or their presence or how they're acting? Yeah, me too. Wow. You know, they did this and they said this, or I could tell when I said something, they weren't real pleasing. You know what I'm saying? It's like it sharpens us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." How are we going to know what it's like to be godly unless we're around godly people? As you study the Word of God, it becomes very clear that other believers are an important part of your spiritual health. They care, they get involved, they comfort. It's important. In all of this plan for 2012, whatever it may be, whatever dreams you may have or hopes you may have or whatever it is, everything that we're talking about is all hinged on one very important thing: prayer. Prayer. No matter what you desire to do in God, with God, go with God, prayer is the one constant. If I want to understand the Word better, I not only have to read it, I have to pray about it. Lord, what does that mean? I have to meditate on it. If I got to have godly direction, it's not going to come unless I'm spending time with Him. Prayer is the constant. If you desire to do more with God this year or more for God this year, prayer is the key. It just is. And so if we have any challenges, if we have any direction, if we have any desires this year, maybe that'd be that this year is a year of prayer. As you have dreams or visions or hopes for this coming year, maybe make this resolution, if you would, this resolve, this commitment with the Holy Spirit, that this is going to be a year of prayer. That I'm going to spend more time in prayer. I'm going to soak my life in prayer. I'm going to spend time throughout the day. I'm going to make it a priority. And I'll spend time in prayer. There's a wonderful psalm that was penned by David at the beginning of a year for him. And Psalm 145:1 says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. That's a wonderful prescription for the year. Now, as I prayed and meditated about this message today and where God was going to go with it this first day of the year, and there's all sorts of things and I could have went with, and the one thing I kept coming back to, prayed about it, and actually a week or so ago, and I kept coming back to it, is that we need to start the year in prayer. We need to be people of prayer this year. We need to be people saying that if God is going to do something in our life, in this church corporately, and in your life personally, it's only going to happen through prayer. So in a minute, we're going to get together, and we're going to join groups of four or five, and I'm going to ask you to just pray for each other. Let's spend a few moments in prayer this morning. Three, four, five people, not too many. And as we gather, initially take a few minutes and share your prayer need. Few minutes, okay, a few moments. Don't decide it's time to preach a sermon or get on about, you know, Aunt Sophie in Alabama or whatever, you know. Just state the need so we have some time in prayer, and then pray for one another. We've done that a few times over the years, and people have always come back with that God has done wonderful things in their life when they did that. Because I know this much. You care about that one that you're praying for just by being here this morning. You want to see God in their life. And you need God in your life. Now, if you're not comfortable praying publicly, that's okay. State your need. And the Bible says a lot about the prayer agreement. If you're not a person that likes to pray in front of others and you're just not comfortable with it, just agreeing with what's being prayed is extremely powerful. And maybe that's your prayer this year, is that, you know what, I want to get more comfortable praying in public. I want to be more comfortable approaching my God and encouraging others. But we need prayer. Whatever we need, whatever we want in our life, whatever God's going to do in your life personally, in this body corporately, it will only be done when we soak in prayer. So I encourage you, right, let's stand up together. Just, you know, maybe came with somebody you're with, maybe not, you know, but just get in groups of three or four or five and just start spending some time in prayer. It's a great way to start the new year.